Okay, today we'll be in chapter 5 of Hebrews. These chapters aren't big, but there's a lot of meaning involved in them, so we need to pay attention to them. Verse 1 starts out and says, "For every high priest that is taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made the high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay, let's go back and see what it says, so we can work through this one. What? What kind you got? I'll try one. Okay, that might help something. Okay, back to the first verse now. I forgot to turn this on, so. Back to the first verse now. Should say, because all high priests taken from out of humanity is ordained for humanity. Okay? For the things pertaining to God, in order that he, cross out the word may because it's not there, that he offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. But the word sacrifice doesn't just mean sacrifice. It means to sacrifice it and then to offer the sacrifice and then actually sacrifice it. So the priest actually offered the sacrifice, came up and offered the gift of the sacrifice and then actually sacrificed the gift, the animal that they brought up.
Isn't that the same way God presented Jesus?
Mm-hmm. He presented him and then took him to the cross too. Absolutely. Okay. And that word ordained, I read over it quickly, but the word ordained actually means they're placed permanently. Okay? So if you understand that when God picks you to do something, it's not just for today. If he chooses you as a son, then you're the son from now on. There's no change in that. Remember, it says the gifts and calling are without repentance They're irrevocable. Okay? It's the same thing. If God calls you, you're there. He's not going to call you and then send you back to the bench. Okay?
In other words, you can't backslide.
No. Not if you're a son. A mature son. In verse 2, it goes on and says, who can or who is able to have compassion? And this priest that he chooses, they are able to have compassion. And this word compassion literally means he has a moderation in passion, anger, grief, unduly disturbing, disturbed by any violation or sin or anything anybody does. So when a priest sits in a position of a high priest, as Jesus did, as the high priest did in the Jewish nation, we know that wasn't the perfect example. That was still a shadow and a type. But as Jesus said to her, whatever excited him or drove him out of his calm demeanor?
Religion.
Only religion, that's right. That was only recorded once or twice. But no matter what somebody did, Jesus had the compassion to look beyond the circumstances the person was in and deal with their circumstance and show them how to come out of it. And that's what a priest has to do today. You can't point fingers and say, well, you dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to burn hell for that. Nothing I can do for you. People don't need that. They need a way out of that hell that churches put them into, don't they? So it's not about condemnation. He judged the world once, and by his blood, he offered up his life, his blood, and no longer is there any judgment. I didn't finish that yet, did I? Okay. He had compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way because he himself also is compassed with what? The word infirmity literally means a feebleness of mind or body. So somebody might have a feeble body and someone else might have a feeble mind. And what's the difference? Well, it could be body or mind. That's why he's saying it could be flesh or it could be their mind. No matter what it is, it doesn't make any difference because he's still compassed about the same things. As a man of God, I don't have any free passes. You know, I don't have to go to jail cards or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Head colds.
Be what?
You still get head colds.
I still get head colds. I still have things that need to be surgically repaired on my body to physically make it through this life. Yeah. If I want to do the things I do and they end up costing me in the long run, that's what happens. No different than anybody else, are we? I know when I was in a church system, I was accused of being in sin because I had a back injury. My preacher called me one morning and said, "Brother, what kind of sin are you in? There's no way God would let you go like this unless you were in some kind of bad sin." And I politely told him, "You don't know my God, so there's nothing more we can do with each other, you know. Bye, you know." I feel sorry for him. You know.
Be an example of how to overcome the problems.
Yeah, do it. You know, you got to go through it. And I think it was there, he said, down in verse 8, though he were son, yet he learned to obedience by the things he what?
Suffered.
Hmm. I think that fits in there pretty good, don't it?
How to be obedient and deal with it in a godly manner.
Well, not to use it as an excuse for everything.
Yeah. And not to blame somebody else because they have an issue.
Start pointing the finger, it's everybody else's fault.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and verse 3, it goes on and says, and by reason, it should say, and because of this, he is under obligation. As for the people, so that also for himself to offer up for sins. So whatever he does for the people, he's doing it for himself also. It's no different. As I minister, I tell people all the time, what I get from God, what my understanding is, it's not for you first, but me first. And if I don't understand it, how could I convey it to you? I have to first understand before I can give you anything. If I can't understand, I'm wasting my time trying to give it to anybody else.
Maybe that's why we have to go through it first.
That's why first fruits are first.
So then we can kind of help the others after this when they're weak.
Absolutely. And in verse 4 it says, "And no man takes this honor to himself, except he that is called by God, as was Aaron." Aaron's name means what?
Light bringer.
Who was he a type of?
Christ.
Just like Jesus was, just like everybody, all these people, they're all types of the true of the Christ, of the true Son of God. And when I say the true Son of God, I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about the many-membered body of Christ. Every one of us were made in God's image. Not in the image of Jesus, the man, his long hair and beard and blue eyes, but in the image of the Spirit, the nature and character of God himself. Verse 5 it says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made the high priest," because he wasn't a high priest, he was the high priest. "But he said, he that said to him, 'You are my son, today I have fathered you,'" is a much better rendering. That begotten thing, that English language, doesn't give the true meaning.
You were born again.
I was conceived by my father. And like Peter said, I'll say it in a minute. "You're born again, not of a corrupt word, but incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, and not by the will of man, but the will of God," is how you were conceived. It wasn't your choice. And I know church world don't believe that, but they better read it again, hadn't they? "You're conceived by not by the will of man, but by the will of God." And he's talking about the same group of people, the first fruit. Verse 6. "As he said also in another place, 'You are a priest forever,'" or literally, "into the ages," and not the word "after" is not really a good word. It should be "according to the order of Melchizedek." So where it says, "You are a priest into the ages, according to the order of Melchizedek." And Melchizedek had no beginning and had no end. No father, no mother. Melchizedek was God in the flesh. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications." Now this supplication here literally speaks of an olive branch with white cloth on it. That was a custom they used back then when they were offering something that the priest did. Yeah. It says "with or amid strong crying," or a strong outcry, "and tears to him that was able to not save but deliver him from death, and was heard because," not "in," but "because of his," because of what? Because that he feared. Literally, because he was merciful and dutiful conduct. Because of mercy and dutiful conduct.
Submissive.
He was submissive. Mm-hmm. To his father's will. What did he say in the garden? "Not by will, but your will be done." That King James, they love to play that word "fear" and "feared" and that religious thing. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. Lord, would you want your kids to be afraid to come to you?
No.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God wants us to come to him and to honor him. Yes, they want your kids should give you honor and respect.
Well, it's like if they're in trouble,
yep.
Oh, come to me.
First.
Don't be afraid of me.
No.
I might go to someone that's prepared.
Hurt them or take advantage of them.
Yeah.
And verse 8 kicks it right in gear. It says, though he were, those first three words should be indeed. Indeed, he is a son. Okay? Indeed, he is a son. And that word son is weos, the son, mature son. Yet learned he obedience, and that word obedience there is really the word submission. Learned he submission by the things which he suffered. So submission is a tough thing. And as long as you get your way, do you think you'll ever learn submission? It's going to cross everything that your mind tells you. No, you don't have to do that. No, you shouldn't do that. Don't do it. You're going to have to X out every one of those.
One of the things I wrote down before when you taught this was the things I suffered in time.
Mm-hmm. And it's in time. It's all just now. So what we suffer now is what it's all about.
So we should learn from that thing, and then that.
Don't do it again. Sure it does. Well, if there was an open receptacle here and you stuck your finger in it and electrocuted you and knocked you across the wall, shocked you, how many times would you go back and stick your finger in that hole again? It would say, I would say you learned to be submissive to that thing, wouldn't you?
At least one more time.
No, I don't think so.
It depends on how much it's spread.
I saw my brother go across the room when I was a little kid, and that made me watch that stuff. I don't play with electricity. And he was literally knocked clear across the room by sticking a bobby pin in the socket. And the room was about half the size of this room width-wise. And he went clear across the room, hit the wall on the other side, like somebody shot him out of a cannon or something. And he always wondered why he was like he is, and I explained it to him. He didn't even know what had happened. He had a shocking experience, and that's why he's like, I told him that's why he's an attorney today. We're brothers, we can kid each other. Okay, verse 9. And being made perfect. That word isn't even correct, but you know that. Being made complete, he became the author of what? Not everlasting, but age abiding. Age abiding.
Whatever it is, he's the author.
Yep. It says eternal salvation, but it's age abiding deliverance. To all them that, and notice it's conditional. He became the age abiding deliverance. Okay? To what? To the ones, all of them that obey or are submissive to him. Right? And literally, the language actually says, to all them that hear and conform to a command, to the command or authority. To all them that hear and conform.
Hear
first. And conform to command or authority. So actually, in this, let me say it another way. In this, he became complete, and he became the author of, let me say it another way, of perpetual deliverance.
It's progressive.
Does that make sense to you?
I think it's
well, perpetual is. Perpetual is ongoing, never stopping, isn't it? It's a self-perpetuating thing. Salvation, when you're delivered, you're going to deliver somebody else and paying it forward, right? So there is a condition to this thing, not just what he did, but if you hear and obey, remember the word shama? To hear with the intent to respond positively to what you heard. Okay, verse 10, it goes on and says, called, or name, the word called literally is named publicly. So it's not being hid that you're a son. By God, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And we're talking about who here? The Christ. The Christ is a many-membered body. It's so easy to, in our brain, to kick back to that one man, Jesus, and that's not what it's about. It's about this many-membered body. There's more than one of us. Okay? Now Paul gets right to the meat of things. He said, concerning whom we have many things to say, this many-membered body of Christ, we got many things to say about it, and it's hard or difficult to explain, which is hard to be uttered, difficult to be explained, because you have become dull of hearing. Now, he's talking to people. He didn't say, I'm talking to people out in the street that's never been to church, never known God, never known anything about God. He said, you've become dull of hearing. So that means he's talking to someone who has been enlightened and chose to stay in the hog pen and lick the dog vomit and wallow in the sow's mud. You hear me? They want to stay in religion. They want to stay in the bonds and those chains of religion. See, that's why he said, you have become now. You got there and got comfortable and didn't want to pay the price of going any further, so now you are going to be stuck where you're at. I can't tell you anything. The only way you're going to hear it is you got to come out of it. Isn't that right? I know people don't want to hear that stuff, but that's the truth.
I was thinking about the donkey man over
there. Yep. Yep. Some donkeys get overloaded. They don't believe it, but they do. They don't know how big a load they can carry yet. They think they can say they're there, and they're not. Verse 12, it says, because even by the time you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first or the base fundamentals of the oracles of God, and are become, and see, there's that person become. They went backwards, didn't they? And you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat or solid food. That's someone who should be maturing, but they're not. They're backing up because they've got in that comfortable place. 13, verse 13 goes on and says, because all that drink milk is what?
Unskilled.
Unskilled, or literally the language says, inexperienced or ignorant. And so you tell most people you're ignorant, and you just offended them, which is a confirmation that they're ignorant. Okay? Ignorance is only a lack of enough information to make the proper decision. So when he says that they're drinking milk, they're inexperienced and ignorant to the word of God, right, of righteousness, because he is what? He's a baby. And you know what it says of that? I think it's the word nepios. And it means, huh?
I got it written.
Okay, it's nepios. And it means a simple-minded, immature Christian. Look in the Greek dictionary and see what it says. It's a simple-minded, immature Christian. That's a baby. And sad to say, the church has got 70 and 80-year-old babies in it.
It's 35-16.
Beg your pardon?
35-16.
Yep. Nepios. I don't have it written down here. I just pulled it out of my bank. Okay. Verse 14 goes on and says, but strong meat or solid food, or something with substance in it, something with nourishment to make you grow, belongs to them that are of full age, or literally, they're complete or mature. Just like the one it said being made perfect down in verse 9, or perfect or complete.
Isn't that like the new wineskin and the old wineskin?
Yeah, it's the same principle. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying here, the ones that are mature sons, they're the only ones that can eat this strong meat. And see, the error in way people are teaching this word today is they're saying, everybody is first fruit. Everybody. Well, then where are they at? If it was true that everyone had ears to hear what the Spirit's saying, they'd be beating the doors down.
The table would be so full of mature. mature man eating meat that you couldn't have standing room to talk in.
There wouldn't be no way to get in this room.
Well, if everybody was first, you wouldn't use the word first.
No, you wouldn't. We'd just say we're all there. And there's so many people that believe they understand the first fruit, but they're afraid to say first fruit is first, because they say, well, then we would be dividing the body of Christ. No, the body of Christ is only the first fruit. The rest of them are brothers. Remember the life of Joseph? He had one brother, one full blood brother, and the other 10 were what?
Half
brothers. What do you think that pattern's put in there for? The biggest part of the people out here are half brothers. It's okay. They're still our family, aren't they?
Can't you look at that like we were talking last week, like the family of David?
Yeah.
You can't look at all the brothers he had, but he was the only one called
out. He was the only one called out of that big family.
Look at the lineage of Jesus. He had brothers too, but he was the only one
He was the first son, though, because of a new order, but he was the one called. The rest of them weren't.
Okay, look at David's son. They always used to think that the first son was the one that was going to be called.
And God never in the Old Testament used the first son. That was the culture of humanity at the time. The first son got everything, but he always used one of the other ones just to show him, it's my choice, not your choice.
Well, if you go as far as that, go back to Genesis. Adam was the first prototype, but he wasn't the first one.
He wasn't the one called. He was the first prototype. And even his sons, Cain and Abel.
You know. There was division there too, wasn't there?
There's always division. But see, we didn't make the division, and I'm not causing division. I'm only stating the facts of what is there. So
those ones that you're talking about, if they come down to it, it's fear, because they fear that maybe they're not
going to make it.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Well, when I said they're teaching this in the wrong context, they're saying everybody is qualified to do the same thing, which is not true. But they don't want to offend people that send them money. You know what I tell people?
I was going to say, tell them what you tell them.
I said, if you have to ask me, you ain't. You ain't yet. Because if you know who you are, you wouldn't be asking me, would you? And that's not being sarcastic. That's just the truth. If I know who I am, why would I come up to you and say, what's my name?
You're still in the valley of
decision. You're still in the valley of decision. Yeah. You're not there yet. Yeah.
Double-minded.
So, all I'm saying is, I know I say things differently than other people, and I'm not supposed to talk like everybody else. I'm an alien. Aliens talk different, they look different, they think different, and they're not accepted by everybody, are they?
Well, your brother in South Carolina says you're crude.
I've heard that before, too. And he said that? Excuse me, but that was funny. Okay. And we're past them being a baby, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're in 14, right? But strong meat, or that solid food, belongs to them that are of full age or are complete or mature. Even those who by reason of use, and that word use there is a habitual practice, who habitually practice doing the right thing all the time. They do what they know is right, no matter what anybody else thinks.
Mind you, I was out the other day, we was working outside, and I was hacking and coughing, and here I did my half of this work, and the other guy did his half, and they was kind of ragging on me, and then I just kept helping him, and then they was kidding with it, they was saying, must be an angel on your shoulder or something, and then they would give me another big shot. I kept habitually doing it. I just couldn't probably help myself. And I was like, well, it's just
whatever you think.
Character's coming out even whenever I'm sick.
It's whatever you can do. See, if you have that mind change, Ezekiel said, God's saying through the prophet Ezekiel said, I'm going to take your old stony heart out, the carnal mind, and I'm going to give you a new heart, a soft heart, fleshly heart. That's the mind of Christ. Now, if God takes the old one out, what connection do you have to it?
No.
Zero. You have no connection to it. I can't even go back and think about doing people wrong. Does that mean that those cherubim in my head don't try to get me to do things? No. It just means I have no connection with them. So when they come up, I know they're not the nature of my Father. So that's not my nature, is it? Mm-hmm. Our nature is as our Father. We're made in His image, not with hands and ears and stuff like that, but by His nature and character. And if that character doesn't fit His nature, I don't listen to it. I don't care what anybody says about it. No, I just tell them no. I make a lot of people mad because I won't go along with them. Doesn't the Scripture say, this Bible says that they think it's strange when you don't run in excess and riot with them. Sorry, I don't. I don't do it. I don't want to. I don't have that desire to want to. Now, I used to have the want to, and I did. But I don't have the want to no more, so I don't. That's the end of the story right there. Nobody can make me. No, they don't desire to. But by reason of use, and that word use there, reason of use, it talks of the origin of perception. This is the place where everything is, our senses is where everything is perceived. Okay? It says there's, have their senses, their origin of perception, exercised. This word exercised here talks about when the gladiators went into the big arena to fight. How did they go in? Naked. That's what that word says. It says like the gladiator going into the ring naked. They were prepared. See, when you're bound up with all kinds of stuff on you, you can't move as well. But when they performed in those games, they ran naked where they were free. They could move. They weren't restricted.
Well, in His love and His being, we are naked.
We're naked in the sight of God.
Exposed.
Absolutely exposed. See, we're not hiding anything. We're not ashamed of what we are. We're not talking about the natural. We're talking spiritual.
We're free.
That's exactly right. So we don't care what anybody else thinks about us. We can open ourselves up to our to the origin of our perception and find out what's going on. That's why we're mature. And it's used to discern both good and evil. And wouldn't that kind of be like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? See, now, everybody has a knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But when we have our senses exercised or to where we can discern what good and evil is, it's no longer a tree that's harmful to us. It came out of the same garden, out of the same earth. It's in here. But we're discerning there's a purpose for it. And it's no longer that's bad and that's good. We know that it takes both to bring us to maturity. And so we're not frightened of that tree. We just don't eat the fruit of that tree.
Well, it goes to the fact that were the things that we suffered.
Mm-hmm.
That came out of the same.
That came out of the same place. And all those things we suffer, it's kind of like pruning that tree back where it's not getting over next to the other tree. Kind of bringing that separation in our thinking.
Intertwined.
Yep.
Clean your mind up.
So anybody have any questions?
Which one of those was habitually practiced? Is that use?
That's the word by reason of use is, yeah. Habitually practice.
Origin of perception as you're
habitually practicing. It says as we by reason of habitual use have their senses or the origin of their perception exercised to discern both good and evil. It's saying by, that's, wouldn't that be by experience?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the experience of everything.
Experience.
Till you get some experience, we don't know what we're talking about yet.
Like I was saying up there before, now,
experience it now. Absolutely. It's an experience we must walk through to get where we're going. It's that simple.